The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, my name is Caitlin, and I love the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
And welcome to episode 489 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and special guest Laura Gilbreth of Alias.net, and Phil Taylor, who's a group leader extraordinaire for Run Disney Volunteers at Walt Disney World in Florida. And we're talking with Laura about her recent stint as a paid volunteer for a Run Disney race weekend out in California, as Run Disney tried for the very first time paying volunteers to help out. This took place at the 2017 Tinkerbell Race Weekend. So without further ado, let's get back to our discussion.
Yeah. Hey, Laura. Mm-hmm. Do you notice, like, was there a different level of enthusiasm from the people that are being paid versus the old volunteers? Because we always seem to see the volunteers are just so enthusiastic and into it. I'm wondering, did you see at least that there was maybe a less excitement about this from them?
Well, because I didn't work any of the race support, so I think it's any of the actual day of the race support. And I think that's normally where you see more of the enthusiasm for the volunteers, especially at the water stations, people who are cheering for you and things like that. I did see that of the people working race shirts, most people were very friendly and very helpful and I don't know, I would say supportive. But yeah, there were a few that kind of just handed over the shirt and didn't say anything, despite the fact that we were told you were supposed to say thank you to the runners. But again, I think I've been to expos myself where somebody's given me a shirt and hasn't said anything to me. So that didn't really seem all that unusual. But yeah, it was kind of a mixed bag, and I think that's been my experience with volunteers, is that it's kind of a mixed bag. Some people are really friendly and some people really are not.
I'm wondering if, getting back to combination of what Phil and Laura was saying, I'm wondering if next year is going to be easier because you won't have as many people going through that original process. You've been screened, Laura, so I'm guessing that if you wanted to do any Run Disney races as a temp worker, you're cleared, you're screened already. So you already have that that universe of Run Disney workers who they don't have to screen. So maybe that's something that you won't have to do next year, which will be a good thing because, like Phil said, you know, why would you want to go through all that? It's not worth it if you have to do that every year. So I'm hoping that would be the case. And just like any other thing that is done for the very first time, there are some hiccups or some things that you probably would not be able to anticipate, so you can correct them so the second time around things will be better. Do you think that might be the case?
I think so, and I think obviously the two companies who were doing this, it was a first time experience for them. And I think they got a little bit overwhelmed by everything that was required. And since also things kind of came down to the last minute for some things, I mean, some of it was Run Disney not getting information out to them to pass along to us. So like 10 days out, I got a non-disclosure agreement that Disney had provided that I had to sign and return. And then it wasn't until I think 2 days before that I finally got instructions on where I was supposed to go. I got a parking pass for the Mickey and Friends parking garage, And so it was kind of down to the wire, really. I was starting to wonder, well, is this really going to happen since I don't have any specific information? Now, the woman who was dealing with me, she did communicate, and she sent out regular emails and said, okay, look, we're waiting for things from Disney, and we'll get information to you as soon as we can. So from that standpoint, the temp agencies, I think, did a good job, but I think Disney kind of did not get information out to them quite as quickly as they probably should have.
You said happen, and I know that you said one of the temp agencies is Apple, and I know for a fact that they are also present in Central Florida. But Phil, I recall that when we talked about this a few weeks ago, you didn't think that this would ever happen in Florida. And you still feel that way?
You know, I don't know. I mean, nobody said it was going to, but I will tell you that when this news broke, I did email, you know, my contacts at Run Disney in the volunteer departments and just said, hey, you know, here's a link to this article. I was curious to know if you guys are looking at something like this for Florida. You know, I hope you don't. It was what I said. Yeah. And I didn't get a single response from anyone. So there was clearly a gag order on anything related to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you know, I was going to ask Laura, because Laura has run on both coasts, and Laura, I was thinking that, and I'd like your insight on this. Do you think that if this was a thought process that was looked upon as something that would be done in the future on both coasts, that the decision to go with the Tink race weekend was made because it's a smaller field of runners and it's not as big as, let's say, the January Walt Disney World Marathon weekend, which I could never see them trying it out on that weekend first. Do you think that that might be a possible thought process that was going through their heads?
Well, that's certainly possible because, yes, I think the Tink weekend is pretty small, although Avengers weekend is pretty small as well. But obviously that takes place later in the year. So if this is something that they're looking at doing for Disneyland, for the Disneyland half especially, which is relatively large by Disneyland standards, then, yeah, I think that was the logical one for them to try it out on. But I have a hard time believing that they did it because it's cheaper, because I don't see how it could possibly have been cheaper for Disney, given having to outsource stuff to those temp agencies and the paying for the background checks like had to happen and everything else. I just don't see how that could be a cheaper option for Disney.
Phil, On average, just like a ballpark figure, do you recall how many volunteers step up to the plate for the marathon weekend on average? Any idea how many?
I don't know specifically for marathon weekend, but I know that over the course of the year, there are roughly 10,000 volunteers.
Wow.
So it's a pretty significant amount. And I don't know if they count, like, if I volunteer at the 5K, the 10K, the half, and the full, do they count me as four volunteers? I'm not really sure how that works. But I just know that the numbers I've heard is 10,000 volunteers led by about 120 team leaders. So, you know, when it comes to, like, the full marathon weekend in January, you know, it's kind of a all hands on deck sort of time. But some of the other ones are much smaller, obviously, but so I don't know though exactly how many are done for that one. I'm curious to know, Laura, what did it look like in kind of the layer above you of leadership? Like who was kind of overseeing your shirt station? Like, was that a Run Disney person? Was that another temp person? Like, what did that look like?
Well, there were at the station, there were two leads for the temp agency who were making sure that people got their breaks, making sure people got their lunches, making sure that somebody filled in for us, because that was one thing the Run Disney guy told us, was that there would not be a blank space at that counter. Every station would have a person at it. So there was the one Run Disney guy who was sort of in charge of that particular area. There was, I think, a couple other Run Disney people that we saw pop in and out. But even the guy who was in charge certainly wasn't there all the time. He was in the back doing other stuff. He came out periodically just to kind of check on things. But we really didn't see him that much. But I think I would say there was one Run Disney person who was generally out kind of walking the length of the runner shirt area most of the time. So if there was an issue, I think it was pretty easy to get somebody's attention.
I wonder if they just kind of took the, you know, the volunteer model of you've got a team of volunteers led by a team leader, led by a Run Disney staff member or a little zone leader, and then a Run Disney staff member above that. I wonder if they just kind of took that same model and just swapped out all of it for temp staff. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah,
that's how it looked to me. From what you've said, it seemed like that. Yes, the vault people were filling that team lead spot.
Yeah.
Phil, I'm going to put you on the spot. So let's say you are one of those people in the Run Disney Brain Trust who has to determine if this was a success or a failure. And my question would be to you, what type of parameters are you looking for? What type of results would indicate to you that this was A, a success, B, needs some tweaking in certain areas? And what would be those areas that you would be focused on? Or C, just didn't work out and we're going to drop it?
Well, I think I'm going to be looking, if I'm Disney, I'm going to be looking, number one, at the guest experience, right? What was their experience like, and how did they, you know, encounter those different staff members that were hired in? I'm going to be looking, obviously, at the cost and how that, you know, tied into the benefit, and whether or not the cost benefit analysis works out on that. I'm going to be trying to figure out if this actually met our budget. I think I'm going to be looking at, do these temp workers fit with what Disney is trying to do and who they're trying to be? And is it any better than a group of volunteers? And yeah, I think those are probably the pieces I'm looking at. KPIs, as they call it, right?
Yes, key
performance indicators.
Performance indicators, yes. One of the things I was wondering is that would this have been deemed a success if it cost a little bit more than normal than it would have cost with just volunteers who, you know, receive a one-day pass, who may receive a shirt or a jacket, or was social media monitored, and that was going to be the deciding factor on that, and maybe it's cost or whatever that's so important. I was just trying to think about that, and I'm trying to figure out what the average cost to Disney for a volunteer is at Walt Disney World. And of course it's going to vary, because some folks who do, so if you do the 5K, if you do 5K on, let's say, for the Princess Half Marathon or whatever, you may just get a shirt, depending upon what you do. And if especially if you're working at the expo, like Laura, did you get a shirt? I meant to ask you that.
Everybody had shirts, because that was how the runners identified that we were expo workers.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out, what type of measuring stick they're using to determine if this is something that they will continue in the future. And again, I think that if they did continue in California, they must have learned something from last weekend that will make things better in the future, you know? There was one more thing I wanted to mention. So one of the things that was brought up in social media was that there was, and Laura, I don't know if you've heard about this. I know Chris and Michelle and I talked about this. There was a lack of characters along the race course.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard about this. And one,
I did.
Yeah. And one of the, I think, Chris, you may want to comment on this. I think one of the things that we thought about, and we kind of tried to figure that out, we thought that maybe the increased cost of taking care of the races somehow bit into their budget for characters. Have you heard anything about this, Laura, at all? Did you hear about the complaints?
I heard about the complaints. I heard, you know, that there were basically no characters in the 5K other than, I think, a selfie with opportunity with Smee and Captain Hook, but that they did have characters during 10K and the half. So certainly, I think you could say, yeah, one reason is they had to cut the budget somewhere, and that was one area that they decided to do it. But I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, we'll never know. We'll never know. But yeah, there was maybe one character opportunity in the 5K. There might have been,
I think, two in the 10.
Two in the 10 and maybe two in the half or whatever. But it was a very challenging weekend for the Run Disney folks out there.
You know, I don't understand. Like, you're charging like $200 to run some of these things. I mean, if there's one character, I'm just going to run a local race. Like, I don't understand what the draw would be, you know? I think they're going to shoot themselves in the foot if they continue in this way.
You're still not running through Disneyland and Disney California Adventure in a local race.
I know. But I don't know. I'm looking for all that extra stuff, you know?
Yeah, there was one person who said, I forget if it was a woman who was running with her son or dad running with his son. Yeah. They had signed up for the 5K. They had flown all the way across the country. They had gotten up at 3 o'clock in the morning. She kept on saying, you're gonna run through Disneyland. We're gonna see all these characters. And they ran. They got up. They ran. They didn't see all these characters. They saw, I believe it was Captain Hook and Smee behind a rope. And I think you did a selfie.
So Phil, yeah. I
mean, and I've always said, I understand if costs go up that, you know, the price of registration has to go up, but give me the same level of service and I'm pretty content. But I guess that's not the case.
Well, so they're going to try and figure out every new way to save a dollar. And then, of course, you got this new overhead of paying for people to work at these things. So they're going to find some ways to get out of it. Which is unfortunate. And again, it goes back to your question: Are we going to see this more elsewhere? Are they going to continue on with this? And if they do, does it affect the races in general? And then does that cut back on how many people sign up for the races? So, catch 22.
Mike, didn't you say? I don't know if you said this on a show or if you posted it on Facebook about, like, it was down by like 2,000 people over last year.
I believe the half was down by 3,000. So that's a lot. Before we close, I wanted to ask Laura if she knew, do you know what's going to happen with the Disneyland half marathon that comes in late August, early September? Do you know if the same process is going to be in place? Because you think about this, they did this on pretty much the last Run Disney, like for their particular, I want to call it their fiscal year. Tink to me is like the last of the race year for Run Disney, and then it begins again in the fall with the Disneyland half. So they've got some time to think about this. But have they called for volunteers, or have they announced anything? And if not, when do you think you'd hear about this?
I haven't heard that they've specifically announced anything yet. I remember reading something that someone had talked to, I think, a Run Disney rep, and the thought was that, yeah, this was how it was going to be at Disneyland from now on. I think we won't actually know for sure, maybe for another couple months, until volunteer opportunities would open up generally, which I think, what, that's about 3 months out from the race. Phil, do you know?
It kind of varies. You know, they usually send out an email to, like, team leaders several months before the first race, and you fill out your availability for the whole race season. In terms of regular volunteers, I would say it probably goes out, like, let's say for the January weekend and Walt Disney World, it probably goes out by September or October, I think. It's pretty early.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. We want to thank Laura. Thank you very much for telling us about your experience as a volunteer, as a paid temporary employee for the Tink Race Weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yep.
Always great to be here.
And Phil, thanks again for chiming in and giving us your perspective on this. We value your experience, and you are the best team leader that Michelle and I have ever had.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And we hope to be working with you in the future. So for Laura Gilbreth, and for Phil Taylor, and for Chris Saliopoulos, and for Michelle Scruton-McLean, and for everybody else in the world, this is Mike Scopa saying, we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.